All right. You ready to pray, Carolyn? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for these little ones right now. Lord, we praise you for these arrows you put in our hands. This time you've given us to be able to sow into them and bless them. And we asking you, as Moses asked, Lord, that your work be shown to us and that your glory be manifested to these little ones, that they see your beauty and your ways through our life. So I pray for Miss Stephanie, Miss Janet, as they work with them and plant these seeds in their hearts. We just going to praise you for it. Be with us, and we're going to celebrate you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, all right. You ready, Boone? That hair is getting blonde, isn't it? All right. Well, look, take y'all's revelation you brought with you today and turn to Joshua. 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 Joshua this morning. Yeah, we've got some great truths to dig into today. We've been helping and working with these little ones in the back. And Miss Stephanie and them are going to be talking about the walls of Jericho. The walls of Jericho and how God brought those walls down. And that's what we're going to look at this morning as well. So if you look in Joshua 5 and chapter number 6, Joshua chapter 5 and Joshua 6. Yes, the Old Testament book of Joshua. We've been talking about it. We've been looking into it. Remember the kids' verse this month is what? Be strong and courageous. To be strong and courageous. To be not afraid. Do not fear, for God is with us. Amen. He'll go where we go. That is, where He leads us to go. And we can just trust in the fact that He has given us authorization to walk in His work. That's what He says. Have not I commanded you, and I'll be with you wherever you go. And that leadership is what is most important in our journey of what God says about a thing, what God says about life, what God says about this conquering of the promised land, which is going to be so fundamental for them to walk in. Now, this is where we up to. We looked at what? Joshua was groomed for glory. God had groomed him. Then we looked at Rahab. Rahab was what? Gripped by glory, that message that came to her. And then we looked at our stones, our Ebenezers, the last time we talked about these things, of how God grounded them for glory, that He told them to take stones and put it in Gilgal, and Gilgal got its name for the fact that God told them that He rolled the reproach of Egypt off of them there at Gilgal. And that's where you get into chapter 4 and 5. 5 is going to tell us about those things of what God did, but they were to put these stones, and there was enough for a man to put on his shoulder and carry out of the Jordan, put them in Gilgal. And when your kids down the road ask you, what are these stones about? 12 stones for the 12 tribes. You tell them about the crossing of the Jordan River. You ground them in the glory of what God did for them at the Jordan. And then tell them about the Red Sea. And when you start talking about the great, wonderful works of God that He's caused to remember, what you do is you get to tell the redemptive story of God's grace to us and how these things happen and why they came about. And we begin by taking them back to the cross and what God did for us at the cross of Calvary and why we needed to be rescued and saved and the restoration that comes in Christ. And then this week, what we're going to look at is how walls fall. We looked at the stones, we looked at Rahab, we looked at Joshua, but now we're going to look at how walls in our life. How many of you come across some walls in your life that needed to be toppled? Some things that were impossible for you to do, impossible for us to do, but not impossible for God to do. And what we want to glean in this is that how do walls fall? Well, we have to be guided for glory. And they were guided by the Lord. Yeah, God guides us. He's got to ground us. He's got to grip us. He's got to groom us for what He's going to do in our life. And that's what we're going to observe in our reading today. Now, when they crossed the Jordan, which was a miracle, how God brought back the waters and they went across on dry ground. They took those 12 stones out and put it there in Gilgal. And then they put 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan River that they would have to all take by faith, number one, of what God did at the river. But that river was going to cover those stones back up, and they would have to remember what God had done. Just like how we can't see what Jesus did at the cross except by faith. We take God at His word. Amen? Amen. Well, at Gilgal, what did they do? Well, chapter 5 is going to tell us there at Gilgal, when you get into it, God told them to make some flint knives. They had to use new knives. A new work, a fresh work that God was about to do. And they were to circumcise there at Gilgal. They had not done that. These men of war had not been circumcised yet. The people that came out of Egypt initially were. But remember, those rebelled against God. And when they rebelled against God, God turned them back, Brother Greg. And they had to walk through the wilderness for 40 years. And the only people that actually entered into the land were those that were 20 years and above. That was the war-fighting men, 20 years and above. That was the requirement of the Lord. Well, the whole time of those 40 years, Brother Shannon, didn't circumcise. Yeah. And that circumcision was a reminder of the loyalty and the faithfulness of God's distinction upon them and how what He did with Abraham and what He was going to do with them. And they were going to circumcise there at Gilgal. And therefore, they would have to heal up from that. So you're looking at time. You got to keep in mind, there's time going on in all this. Remember when those spies went in and they talked with Rahab? And Rahab asked the Lord to preserve her and her family. And they asked if they had her do that. They said, you keep them in the house. And as long as they in the house, when we enter in and conquer Jericho, we'll preserve you. Now, that took several days, Josh, already, before they ever crossed the Jordan River. Now they're going to cross the Jordan and they're going to circumcise, but they're not going to conquer the land just yet because now they got to heal up from the circumcision. So that's going to take some time, some days to play out for that. And then once that happens, we're going to see how many days does God tell them to walk around the walls of Jericho? For 7 days. So the whole time, all the nation of Jericho is trembling over the fact of what's fixing to happen, but there was a few people in Jericho, Rahab and her family, that had a word from God, and they were going to cling to that word, and they had to wait on it. They had to wait on it. So we're talking about a little time here, most likely well over a week that they were in anticipation of this invasion that was going to take place. Well, not only did they do that, but they actually participated in the Passover for the first time again. And in that Passover, that emblem of that lamb that was sacrificed for our household, and that shedding of the blood and eating unleavened bread, and they started eating of the fruit of the land. And on the third day, the manna from heaven stopped falling. And now they're living on the abundance of the land of Canaan. And then God comes to Joshua and He gives Joshua in the close of chapter number 5. Let's just start there if we can this morning. Look in verse number 13. This encounter with the commander. This encounter with the commander. Something you want to keep in mind, that when God shows up to take control. And all God's people said, amen. God showed up. God showed up. Now, God was in the whole process, but God was going to come in a visible kind of way. And this picture of this commander is actually the Son of God, who we know of as Jesus. But remember, He didn't become Jesus until He took upon flesh where? In the womb. But here's the Son of God coming to Joshua there on the west side of the Jordan at Gilgal, and this is what He says. And it came to pass, verse 13 of chapter 5, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and he said to him, this was Joshua's logical response to a soldier with a drawn sword. He says, wait a minute, are you for us or are you for our adversary? He didn't recognize who he was. He didn't know who he was dealing with. He's thinking this guy, this soldier, could be from the armies of Jericho. Or he could be somebody who God sent that was going to help us in the battle. So Joshua says, are you with us or are you against us? And what was the commander of the Lord of hosts? What was his response? What did he tell him? Verse 14. So he, God, said what? Nay. You know what nay means? No. 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 But as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have come now. And when Joshua heard that, what was before him, he realized who was before him, and his response was, he fell on his face to the earth, and he worshiped. And he said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? And then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandals off your foot, for the place where you stand is what? Holy. And Joshua did so. Y'all remember that encounter that Moses had at the burning bush? And God came to him, and the bush was on fire, but it wasn't being consumed. And God spoke to him, and he said, who do you say that that has sent me? And he said, tell them the I am sent me. What did he also tell him? Take off his what? Sandals. Get naked before me on the earth that you in. You in the presence of God. Be open and truthful and exposed to me. And he said, are you with us? And the commander said, no, because that's not the right question. The question is, are you with him?
Right.
You see, when God comes to take over. Amen. So the question is, are you not for us? Or the question is, God, are you not for us? The question is, God, can we be with you?
Come on.
That's the proper question there. Can we be with you in this? And this is what God was doing, like he did with Moses. He was setting Joshua up to take these people in, that this was going to be a battle over the land of Canaan, and it was going to be a battle that God must fight. And when God fights it, God always, always, always what?
Wins.
He always wins when God fights. And this is where he was taking Joshua into that. Same way with us today. We have to be careful with taking sides on issues. Just be careful with that. Here's Joshua with logic saying, whose side are you on? And the question is not whose side is God on, but whose side are you on with God? You want to get in with him, amen, and do what he wants you to do. And that's the same way what we do today. If you go to choosing and picking sides, you're going to get yourself in trouble. The key is just follow him. Get under his leadership and follow him. Amen. Because there's going to be some things he's going to have you do with both sides when you're following him. Number one, what is the first thing that we see them doing when they get in this land? You got to keep in mind what was going on. Remember when they crossed the Red Sea, they had a sea before them, Rusty, and an army behind them. They had nowhere to go except look unto the Lord, and the Lord parted the sea, and they walked through the sea on dry ground. But when they get to the Jordan, you got to keep in mind here, when they enter across that Jordan, they enter in the fighting ground. The army's not behind them. The army's on the other side of the river. So when you take God at his word and you trust in him by faith and following him, he's bringing you into the battle. And now you got an army on the other side of the Jordan that you committed. And once that Jordan closes back up, the only one that's going to part it is God. And he ain't parting it. Why? He's fixing to bring walls down. And that's the same thing with you and I. We're going to face walls in our life. We're going to face troubles in our life. We're going to face difficulties in our life. We're going to face adversaries in our life. We're going to face enemies in our journey. But at the same time, what we want to do is follow the guidance and the leadership of the Lord in whatever he gives us to do. Now, the prescribed manner of what God gave Joshua to do, because that's what we're going to see in chapter number 6. God's going to tell him everything to do. What's going to happen, how long it's going to take, what they're going to have to do. And the scripture says they followed God in what he gave them. And when you follow the Lord, that's the first step of triumph and victory, just following him. You follow him, you already triumphal. Amen?
Come on.
Everything else is going to play. It's going to come out the way he wanted it to come out. You just follow him. The second thing is, before they ever drew a sword on the people of the land, God put a knife on them. And he cut away the flesh and drew blood on them. That's that picture of what? Yieldedness unto the Lord. Doing what God gives us to do. Being able to rest in him, knowing that, hey, the pain that God brings us in is a temporary pain, and that we can follow him in whatever he leads us to do. That the pain and the suffering and the troubles and the tests and the trials are temporary. They're temporary, and they can't weigh with the eternal weight of glory that we have in the Lord, and we can walk with him and follow him and trust him in all that he leads us to do, Miss Pat. So look in verse number 1 of chapter 6. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its kingdom, and the mighty men of valor." Now, something is very important for us to note here. I've been hinting toward this timeline. They just circumcised. He's got this commander there before him. They're still in the healing process. And they're coming out of that, and they're still fixing to be some days before they ever actually go to fighting against the people. But God told him in the present he needed to see his victory before it ever started. He uses the word what? Behold or look or see, I've already given this city and these people into your hand. Amen. Faith takes God what? At his word. Even though you can't see it, Sandy. They couldn't see what was on the other side of those walls. They didn't know what that army on the other side was preparing for. They didn't know what they were going to be doing on the other side or what was still yet to happen. Matter of fact, God hadn't even told him yet that the walls were going to fall. Hadn't come about yet. He's about to tell him of what he was going to do, but he hadn't told him yet. You think in a fortified city, a city that's been there for a long time, that had multiple stages of walls and houses built on those walls, wasn't a very large city when you consider the dynamics of the size of it, the complex of it. When we think of a city, we think a big metropolitan type area. But if you took our whole acreage out here of all our land of where we cut grass, Jericho sat on a mound, and on that mound there were some elevated places on it, and that wall surrounded that mound about the size of our grass cutting range, is about how big the city was. But nonetheless, if you come against a wall that you couldn't impinge and get over, and you had nearly 2 to 3 million people that was going to go in and deal with this, you still got to have God do something you can't do yourself. Come on. No matter if that wall is just 10 foot long and a square, or if it wrapped around 8 to 10 or 14 acres of land, God had to do something that you couldn't do. So they had to be dependent upon him. And this is the instructions God gave Joshua. Look what he says. Verse 3. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do for how many days? Six. So, okay, one circle. They march around the city one time. And they would do that for 6 total days. Just march around the city. Now he's going to give them some things they to do when they're to march around the city. Verse 7, he said, "And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets." So they're going to blow the trumpets. The Bible's going to tell us they blow them continually as they go around the city that one time. Verse 5, "It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him. Then Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said to them, 'Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord.' And he said to them, "Proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord." So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced, and they blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark while the priest continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had also commanded the people, saying, "You shall not make a shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout." Now think about that. So 6 days of silence. 6 days, not a word out of your mouth. Here's the priest bearing the ark. In front of them were seven priests bearing ram's horns. And in front of them was the armed men, and behind them was everybody else. And they would walk around that city blowing those horns in utter silence outside of the horns. And they would do it once, and then they would go back to camp. And the scriptures indicate us, this is up to really not 100% sure, but it does give us the indication that the next morning, without any words, anything anybody said, they did the same thing the next day. And they did that for 6 total days. And on the 7th day,
I hear a horn.
You hear a horn back there?
I hear one.
You hear the ram's horn? Going around the city. I'd imagine those folks inside those walls, as they hear those horns, are wondering what's going on out there.
Yeah. Come on.
And I'd imagine that the people who were following Joshua's lead as they marched around those walls are wondering, why are we doing what we're doing? Why are we doing it this way? We can't talk about it. Have you ever noticed you get around a group of people and enough people talk, somebody's going to talk and try to create a little doubt or a little confusion? They're going to say things that are going to question the reliability of what you're doing and why you're doing it. And before you know it, you got people doubting the reliability of what God said to do. And they're creating confusion in the people. So what did God do to eliminate that? God told them what? For 6 days there was no speaking, no talking. That'd been tough, huh, Tammy? Well, I was going to go to Deborah too. Carolyn, that'd been hard, huh? What you saying? You know, there was other times. Y'all remember when Elisha the prophet was sent to that Shunammite woman, and she built him a prophet's chamber up there, and he promised she was going to have a child in her later years, and sure enough, she had a child. But that little boy grew up and was a little boy out there with his daddy one day, and he got a really bad headache. This is in 2 Kings 4. He got a really bad headache, so the daddy sent him back to the mama, and the mama stood there and held him in her lap, and the little boy died in her lap. She took that little boy up, brought him, and put him in the room that she had built for the prophet and laid it on his bed. And she asked her husband, "Can she send a team of beasts so that she can go find the prophet?" And the husband said, "Why? It's not the time for the prophet. Where are you going?" And what did she tell him?
"Well,
it is well." She didn't try to explain it. She didn't talk. Why? Because we find that the husband, most likely, we don't see anything about him that shows us he was of the same spirit she was. So she didn't talk about what was going on, what just happened. What her objective was get to God. Because if I talk with him, he's going to try to talk me out of it. He's going to logically speak. There's nothing we can do about it. But my business is to get to God. And then when she got to Elisha, he sent out Gehazi, and Gehazi came up to her. And when she came, he asked her what was going on. And what did she tell him? It is what? It is well. And then Elisha tells Gehazi to go. And when you go, you get out ahead of us and don't talk to nobody. Don't bring it up to nobody. Don't bring it up to anybody. Why? Because we live in a world that don't see the same things that God sees.
Amen.
We live in a world that hadn't been given guidance and instruction by God to do a thing. And when you're doing things that the world don't think you ought to do, that you're doing that God gave you to do, they're going to cause you to question what God gave you to do. Remember when Jesus sent out his disciples the first time?
Yeah.
And he told them to go from city to city. And when you go to that city, find a place that the peace of God is there. And when you find a place that the peace of God rests on, that's where you stay. And you stay there the whole time till you leave the city. But in between, he says, don't entertain anybody on the highways and the byways. Don't tell them why you come, where you're going. You got a mission to get to a city that I'm about to come to.
Come on.
You hear him shouting in there? Them walls just fell. Amen?
Come on.
Them walls just fell. You heard that last loud horn blow and they shouted and boom, the walls fell. You see, but God does that in our life. You know, there's a lot of families and marriages that have been wrecked because there were issues going on within the home or within their place, and they went on the job or they went into a community and they aired their business to people that didn't have the same word they had from God, and those people gave them recommendations on what they ought to do with their wife or what they ought to do with their husband and how they ought to do this and how to do that. And then they start questioning the reliability and the faithfulness of God, because people that have no business in what their life is to be about are giving them advice from an ungodly perspective, but they're not clinging to what God gave them to do. And all of a sudden now they hearing all that and they just casting doubt on everything that God's ever given them to do.
Amen.
You see, because going around that city 6 days blowing a horn and nobody talking didn't make sense.
Come on.
It just don't make sense. It don't make sense. You see, but God gives us things in this life that don't make sense in this world.
Come on.
They just don't make sense. They're out of season type things. Like Jesus, when he came up to a fig tree that wasn't supposed to have figs on it because it wasn't seasoned for figs. But when it wasn't no figs on it, Jesus cursed the fig tree. And the next day when the disciples come to him and said, Lord, look at that tree you cursed. It's withered up and died. And this was what Jesus told them. Have faith in God. Why? Why did Jesus curse the fig tree? Because his father told him to.
Come on.
Even if it didn't make sense, he cursed it anyway.
Amen.
He cursed it anyway. And the same thing applies to us today, that God's going to have us do things in a world that don't make sense. And it's only when we follow his guidance that those walls that are keeping us from what he promised us, that's the only way these walls fall.
Amen.
When you take him at his word. Amen. So they did exactly what God gave them to do. They did it. They did it. But you know what? We don't see God giving them the same instructions ever again to do it that away again. Matter of fact, every battle strategy in time Joshua fought, he always fought it a different way.
Amen.
But he always fought it the way God guided him in. And when he fought it the way God guided him, and you know what he saw? What did he see? He saw victory. He tasted victory because he trusted and obeyed. He heard a word from God, trusted what God gave him, and followed that lead. And when he did, no matter what the situation was, even though it was in difficult and hard things, what did God always do? He was always triumphal. Why? Because he trusted and obeyed. And the same thing applies for us today. There are things that God has given you and talked to you about and shared with you and spoke into your life that you need to be cautious on who you share them with and how you share them. Don't share them with those that God ain't led you to share them with. That means being sensitive to His Spirit, because if you get involved in something that He ain't led you in, all it's going to do is cause you trouble.
Amen.
That just goes back to what? Following the lead of the Lord. Amen. Will God guide us?
Yes.
Yes, and that's the only way, Rusty, that walls fall. And just a little information on these walls. They didn't fall inward. The walls fell outward.
Yeah.
It'd be one thing if the children of Israel stormed it, and with all those people, with all the might behind the Lord, and they pushed those walls over this way, but no, they fell toward the people. Just to prove that when you take God at His word, He does that which nobody else can explain that was done, that when it was done, you knew who did it. And it was He who done it. Amen?
Amen.
That's just how God works in our life. That we take out who's the possibility that it could have happened another way. God brought those walls down because we trusted Him, walked in what He gave us, even when it didn't make sense. We did it the way that He asked us to do it. And in faith, we seen His triumph manifested in our life. And man, I can't help but give Him praise for that. Amen?
Amen.
Now we've got a guard. Look at Psalm 73. Psalm 73. So how do walls fall? We need to be guided by who? We need to be guided by the Lord. You are guided by the Lord, you're going to see those walls in your life fall. Let me give you, look in Psalm 73. I thought about this week as we were reading through it, just to parallel with it. There's so much more we could talk about with the idea of Joshua and what the little boys and girls are learning in the back. You just continue to teach them how important it is to follow the leadership of the Lord, to take God at His word, to trust Him, even if it just doesn't make sense. It don't seem right. Don't feel right. It's out of season. Trust Him. Walk in it. And you're already triumphal as you follow in His lead. But notice what in Psalm 73, the psalmist gives us something that will help you, because we're all can be in this place. This is where he was at. He says, starting out the psalm with what he's learned, and that God is trustworthy. Truly, God is good to who? His people. He's good to His people. When you read Israel, just say He's good to His people. I'm part of His people. Amen. I'm part of His family. He's good to His people. Yes, He is good to Israel. Who are His people? Who is He good to? To such all as are what? Pure in heart that trust Him. Now He's going to give you the reason He's come to this conclusion, but He hadn't always been in this spot. He got Himself in a bad situation. He had a wall in front of Him, and that wall was something He couldn't overcome on His own. He says, but as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful. When I saw the prosperity of the wrong, of the wicked. You look about in this world today, if you're not careful, you can become envious, and you can question things, why this is happening, why that's happening, why does it look like they're gaining advantage, why they look successful, why all this. You look. That's just where he was at. This is a wall he had to overcome. He was fretting and he was envious. Verse 4. He says, there's no pain in their death, but their strength is firm. They are in no trouble like other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Things like everything just works out good for them. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance, and they have more than their heart could ever wish. They scoff and they speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak highly, loftily. Verse 9, they set their mouths against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth as if they have the answers to everything. Verse 10, therefore, His people return here, and water of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly whose ways are at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain, and I wash my hands in innocence. For all day long I've been plagued and chastened every morning. That's where he said, look, he said, what I've done to walk rightly with God has been a burden to me. It's been a burden to me, but they seem like they're unburdened by everything. Notice what verse 15 says, and this is important for us. This is what he was thinking in his heart, Brother Shannon.
Amen.
Verse 15 says, if I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children.
Come on.
Important, Jacob. Just because you think a thing don't mean you need to what? Say it. See, our society prizes that, doesn't it? Have you ever been around? You don't have to wonder what they're thinking. Our society prizes that. Man, if they think it, they're going to
say it.
You don't have to wonder what they feel about you because they're going to tell you. And that's commended. But that's not always right. Amen. What does the Scripture teach us? That we're to be what? Quick to hear and what? Slow to? We're to take every thought captive unto the obedience of Jesus. Now, he thought all this. He was plagued over it in his own spirit, but he never spoke it out loud. He just battled with it where? Within. He said, if I would have talked this away, anybody that heard me talk this away, I would have been untrue to them and misguided them and misled them. Why? Because he realized something. What did he realize? He says in verse 16, when I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. He was guilt-ridden. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood the wicked's end. I understood their end. You know what he went in when he went into the sanctuary? What was in the sanctuary of God? What was in there? The book. Y'all remember David wrote a book. He wrote a lot of songs that were left in the sanctuary of God. And one of those songs was Psalm 37. And Psalm 37 says, look, don't fret or be envious of the evildoers or the wicked, for their time is going to come to an end.
Amen.
You trust the Lord, and you do good, and you dwell in the land, and feed upon His faithfulness. You see, the psalmist had all this going on within him. And when he goes into the sanctuary and he hears these psalms being sung and written, he realized that what he put his eye on was the people, and he took his eye off the Lord. And when he got his eye back on the Lord and what God says about life and the walls that he was facing, and he started obeying God, he realized how far off he had gotten, and he was letting people in this world he lived in manipulate him, but he started paying attention. Now watch what he says. Verse 19. Verse 18. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors as a dream when one awakes. So the Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their images, their image. Verse 21. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind, and I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you, God, operating off of instinct and not revelation. Verse 23, nevertheless, y'all say that with me for the believer. Just say the word, nevertheless.
Nevertheless.
You see, nevertheless for the believers, nevertheless than grace. Just remember that. When you're righteous, you're a believer because you trust God. That nevertheless is nevertheless than grace. God has a way of chasing us and bringing us back to Him. Amen?
Amen.
And He says, nevertheless, I am continually what? Even though what's coming to them, that ain't coming to me.
Wow.
I'm continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. And verse 24. You will what?
Good.
You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward, you will receive me to glory. You see, my keeper, he's keeping me. My protector is protecting me. My guide is guiding me. And my glory will glorify me in one of these days. And I can rest in Him. Amen?
Amen.
I can rest in Him. He's going to guide you. Did Joshua need His guidance?
Yes.
Amen. Did this psalmist need His, did the sons of Asaph need His guidance? Did David need it?
Yes.
Does Nick need it?
Amen.
Miss Barbara, you need it? He ain't gonna get you to walking around Jericho seven times on the seventh day. But I guarantee He's gonna have you doing something.
Come on.
And you can follow His lead when He guides. Amen?
Amen.
Look, you will guide me and receive me to glory. Verse 25, whom have I in heaven? but you. And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart will fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Our heart, this life will fail you, it'll forsake you, it'll famish you, it'll make you a fool. But God's loving kindness is better than life. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 27, for indeed those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry, but it is good. Read this now. It is good for who? Y'all, who is it good for?
Me.
Who? For me. For me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may what? Declare all your. You see, he got caught up with what was going on in his society and it became a big wall to him. But he went where he was supposed to go. And he heard a revelation. And that revelation reminded him what was going to happen to them and what goodness God had already shown him. And that he was always with the Lord and the Lord was always with him. And God promised he would keep him, he would protect him, and he would guide him. And he knew God restored the man and restored the joy of God's salvation in his life. And that wall, what? Fell. Why? Because he's now doing, he's following the guidance of the Lord.
Amen.
And no matter what the circumstances is in your life, in your relationships, on our job, our physical health, whatever it is, we can take God at His word and steadfastly, little by little, step by step, in slippery times, follow His lead. And every step you take in obedience is triumph.
Amen.
And what you want to see in that triumph is just start praising Him. Amen. Praising Him. Praising Him. And asking Him to show you His glory so that other people in this world will see His glory in your life, see you praising Him and following His guidance and watching walls fall. Because God's fighting this battle for you. Amen. So how do walls fall? You got to be guided by who? You got to be guided by the Lord. You know, and every time God gives you a victory, you know what He does? He establishes another Ebenezer. Amen. That keeps grounding you. Why? Because you've been gripped by Him. Because the whole time God's been grooming you for glory. For glory and grace upon grace. Amen.
Amen.
That's just what He does in this life. Is He good? So the people you talk to, you need to be led by who? Need to be guided by the Lord. When you share Jesus with people, the gospel, you need to be guided by the Lord. You need to be filled up with His Spirit and led by Him. Amen.
Amen.
When you tell your testimony and your story and your things, you're led by the Lord. And when God is not leading you, the best thing we could all do is what? Be quiet. Amen. You think that'll keep us from a lot of trouble? Oh, man. Y'all think it'll keep you a lot of trouble away from trouble in the house? How many of y'all ever said things in the house you probably wish you didn't say? To your spouse, to your kids. How many of you said things to your kids you wish you'd have never said? Can't take it back, huh? So now you got a wall. Now who's going to knock down that wall or stronghold that you built that was untrue? God's got to bring it down. So what do? You just revert back to what? Letting Him guide you. Amen. Just letting Him lead you. You know what the Bible would call that? The just shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by a word from God. That means He's guiding us through it. Amen?
Amen.
That's how the walls fall. How many of y'all need a wall fall right now?
Amen.
Today.
Come on.
I'm sure you got things in your life. You got issues. Things need to crumble down. Well, what did the psalmist? It's good for me to draw near unto God. It's good for me to trust Him. It's good for me to follow Him. And when I do, just let Him take care of the wall. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank You. We bless You today. We all have things that we need You to bring us through. Lord, You do this. You shepherded them to it. You brought them through. through it, you bring them out of it. And we just can't help but praise you for that. There's so many things we don't have solutions and answers for, but we know you do. So it's good for me, it's good for us to draw near to you, to hear from you, to follow you, especially when we let things in this world start getting our attention. We want to be careful how we talk about it and who we talk about it with, because there's a good portion of time you would rather we remain silent and bring it to you, that we bring it to you. And your revelation helps us see it in another perspective of what you're doing in this world, what you're doing in our lives, what you're doing with us and those around us. And we're just going to thank you for that. Thank you for guiding us. In Jesus' name, amen. And all God's people said, we are going to transition into our next lessons. We're going to move into the book of Judges. The book of Judges is where it takes us, with the kids in the back and looking at some of these deliverers. And I'd encourage you to read maybe Joshua 21. Joshua 21 talks about the Lord gave them the land, the Lord gave them rest, and the Lord gave them their enemies into their hand. And not one good thing the Lord spoke to them failed. Not one good thing. Not one good thing. We can take him at his word. Amen? Yeah. Not one good thing failed that he spoke to him. So let's follow his lead and continue to listen for his voice. We'll gather tonight at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock.
I'm going to my
cousin. Well, good, Carolyn. Well, good. I know they'll be delighted to see you when that time comes, huh?
He missed me.
I know they miss you. I know they miss you. Everybody misses Carolyn, huh? Greg, look. See that? He covered his mouth up, huh? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, amen and amen. Rusty, won't you pray for us as we close out today?
Dear Lord, Father, thank you for this message.
Mm-hmm.